When your mom or your cousins go, oh, this is cousin Alvin, how do they introduce you? What do they say?
A whole piece just now.
Yeah, no, we don't talk about Alf, like,
this is cousin doctor, no. This is cousin lawyer.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, yeah.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is Dear Future Grandkids. Like always, I'm Jen in Singapore. That's Ange in Hong Kong and Percy in the Philippines.
This is a show where we build memories from the past for our wonderful guests to show their grandkids of the future.
Yeah, and should we get on to our guest today?
Yes.
I want you, dear listener, to give a little We're Not Worthy bow. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of any of these tiny little projects that our guest today has worked on, all right? Disney's Mulan, mm-hmm. Disney's Encanto,
ooh.
My favorite Bond film of all time, No Time to Die.
Wow.
And coming to cinemas near you soon, featuring Tom Cruise, the guy who never ages, Top Gun Maverick. And then how about some of these little, tiny, little known video games? Final Fantasy VIII, Kingdom Hearts 2.5. I love Kingdom Hearts, one of my favorites. And Resident Evil 7. Well, our guest has been the music mixer, recording engineer, or the music producer for some of these mega movies, video games, and so much more. From humble beginnings in Kuching, Malaysia, all the way to Hollywood, we know you're going to find so much inspiration in his story. Let's welcome to Dear Future Grandkids, Alvin Wee.
Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be here, Alvin, in the house. What an introduction. So before that, yeah, Ange, Percy, I mean, just all those titles that he's worked on or is currently working on as well. So on behalf of Dear Future Grandkids, are we ready? We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
We're a few degrees of separation closer to Tom Cruise now.
Yeah, exactly. But talk about how many things Alvin can just name drop in the conversation. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just Encanto. Oh, yeah. Top Gun. Yeah, yeah. All of that. Resident Evil. Yeah. Here we go. So, Alvin, wonderful. So, yeah, it looks like you haven't done much of your life, have you?
No, not really.
Where did it all go wrong for you, Alvin?
Yeah.
I don't know. 10 years ago, I just stopped eating laksa serak. No, I'm just kidding. It's been great. Incredible journey. And I don't know how I got here, but I just kind of just forged forward and here we are. So it's definitely, definitely fun.
Alvin, I have to ask that question. And I'm in the industry, but I have to ask it anyway because, you know, you need to clarify. What does a music mixer score mixer a recording engineer do?
Very simple. So there's a composer, right? The composer writes the music either on paper or on these days, they're on computers and all that. You know, film music is when, like, you know, the big guy walks in, then you have a tuba go bomb, 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 bomb. And then you have like a skinny guy that walks in, then it's like a small pickle go, right? So then if you have like multiple things happening in the scene, you have to kind of underscore that emotion with music. And so sometimes that music can be written on paper and sometimes that's written on computers. And then sometimes it gets recorded as well. So at the end of the day, someone has to put all this music together after the composer has written it. And like yourself as a director, you know, you get it approved. Then they're like, okay, let's go record it. Either, you know, we'll go to a what they call a scoring stage where you get a big 80-piece, 50-piece orchestra or whatever. You get them in or a big, you know, a band or like sometimes it's like a choir. Then once you record that, then you have like all this, you know, additional, let's say, computer program elements and you want to combine all of that so that they all work as a piece of music, then I come in where I would take, you know, like, let's say for Inception, you have the blah, right? You have that big like bellow or whatever. So that doesn't come from one sound. That comes from like multiple sound sources. I guess it's, I kind of have a passion of like helping people realize their vision and translate that for the listener. And obviously in the film, you know, because I don't do the dialogue or any of these sound effects, I just strictly do music. Once I'm done combining or mixing, recording, and sometimes producing it, I then print it out and send it off to where the director sits with another mixer who mixes the dialogue and sound effects and the music. And so I work in a studio. So I just basically do this and, like, you know, everyone asks, what's your instrument? And I always joke, I play the keyboard and the mouse, you know, like that's kind of where I... that's basically it. And that's on the music front, on the score mixing front. That's basically what I do. It's a combination, a rapping, and like the presentation of a music, making sure that it's very well represented as how the composer intended it.
When your mom or your cousins go, oh, this is cousin Alvin, how do they introduce you? What do they say?
A whole piece just now.
Yeah, or he knows Tom Cruise.
No, we don't talk about Alf. Like,
this is cousin doctor, no. This is cousin lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People always joke, right? Like, the lawyer, the doctor, the businessman, the failure, right? So I'm like, not one of those three. So when I first started out, they were like, oh, you know, that's, you know, you have that pause, and they're like, great, you know, and like, they're kind of supportive, but they don't know how to be supportive. And my mom is my biggest advocate. And I think without her, I wouldn't have been here. So she, from the beginning, was like, my son's going to be a rock star and you guys are just going to watch. And my parenting skills are way superior than all of you. She doesn't say that, but I joke because she supports me every step my way. So did my dad, you know, God bless his soul. They both were a big, big part of like why I did this. They were like, hey, you can do this. And, you know, when they introduced me, especially my mom, she's like, this is my son. He is working in the United States. And, you know, she just kind of put leaves it at that. And like people, you know, say, hey, didn't you do that? Or weren't you in the newspaper and all that? But like with other family members, they just say, oh, he works in Hollywood. And so I guess that's like kind of nondescript slash like a way of saying like he does something cool, but I don't know how to really explain it. And I'm okay with that.
Well, very, I will summarize cool. that. You're a magician from somebody who relies on you guys to make our films really pop out. It's you guys. You're the magician that works the magic.
We try, you know, we really do try. And I think a lot of times everyone in the team, like when you're making something, you know, whether you're streaming online or you're on set or whether you're in post-production or like you're in post-production or you're in scoring, whatever, like, I think every part of the team matters, and it's good that we all kind of care. And I think people behind the scenes sometimes don't get enough credit, and I'd like to kind of help, you know, bring that to the front and show people that we can definitely do that.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely. It's just a few minutes into the show already. We've learned so many things from you, you know, that support from your parents, you know, to really give you the confidence to succeed, and also working together as a team and also helping, you know, the rest of the team that's behind the scenes, because they deserve all the plaudits as well, right? That's so fantastic and so intrigued to find out more about you. And of course, this show is Year Future Grandkids. I know it's early days for you, but have you ever imagined yourself as a grandfather?
I laugh because kind of ish when I used to have the giant beard, I was like, oh, I'll be like granddaddy, you know. And at the same time, I've been so career focused in my life, or at least kind of like trying to find my footing in this industry and trying to kind of build a life and build some sort of direction and do this as something where I can say like, hey, you know, like I can do this and make a living off it. So having grandkids was, I mean, it was inevitable, like, you know, in the truest sense of the word, yes, I thought I would definitely one day have grandkids. If, you know, the forces in the world lets me and my wife to have kids and they'll meet someone and they'll have their own kids, then yes, absolutely, I do want, you know, I do see and want and hope that I do have grandkids one day.
Wonderful, man.
Cool.
Well, Alvin, this is a video time capsule, so this is an opportunity for your future grandkids to get to know you. We've got some quick fire questions for you so that they get to know you better.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, here we go. In just three words, describe what you do for a living.
Make music pretty.
Oh, nice. Well done.
That's in your name card. That's in your calling card now. From now on.
I just thought about it.
Make music pretty.
What do you do? I make music pretty.
Yeah, we're going to dive deeper than that. What are the three key skills that you need to be successful in your job?
Communication, understanding, and passion.
Ah, look at that.
Yeah. And nothing to do with music and sound?
Absolutely not. Yes, there is all the technical, but like everyone, you know, you meet everyone and there is an interpersonal relationship that I find very important, and I find understanding where people come from, like, you know, musicians and creatives, like, you know, yourselves included, like, we just want the awesome part to just be awesome, you know, like, and it's easy to kind of like start talking about the mechanics of things as opposed to like the emotion we're going for, because at the end of the day, you know, no one's going to tell me that, oh yeah, he used that fader and he turned that up on Encanto. It's like, no, I was crying because it was so pretty, you know, so I'm very kind of aware of.
There's a fourth word. There's a fourth that you did not mention, but I'm sure it's on your mind. Patience. You guys are the most patient people with the guys like us who go like, can you make it louder? Or can you make it softer? How about louder? Softer.
Yeah. Turn it up or turn it down or something. Yeah.
And then we go to the toilet break, we come back, like, something has changed.
Yeah, I want it sad. Like, sad, but not too sad. Yeah.
Nothing changed. Patience.
I think that comes with understanding, you know, like being empathetic to like your collaborator. I mean, it's all collaboration. There's never like, hey, you tell me what to do and I'm just gonna do that and that will be it. We'll be like, let's figure out where, you know, speaking of grandkids, like let's, you know, even if it's different languages, you figure out where the through line is and you kind of come to, you know, where you'll just have the end goal in mind and kind of work towards that.
Nice. Okay, let's have another set of three things. So what are the first three foods that you go and eat when you go back home to Malaysia?
Come on, Alvin.
So first and foremost, laksa sarawak. If I land in Kuching, because that's, you know, obviously Malaysian food, I love. My top of my list, laksa sarawak.
I don't know it.
Oh, you don't know it?
I've never had it.
Anthony Bourdain.
I've never had it.
What?
What's the difference?
Alvin will tell you.
That would involve like another Dear Future grandkids, and we'll do like a whole laksa thing. It's a little more lemongrassy. There's the, you know, the coconuts there, but like the melch or the flavor is slightly different, a little more spicy. It's got more, you know, that would be my top choice. The second thing would be, again, another Kuching favorite called the kolomi, which is just, it's egg noodles, curly egg noodles, and you have like toppings on top, and it's usually like some minced meat, some veggies, and like, and it's like a little sweet, a little savory, and it's like not the healthiest for you, but like, it's like, you know, guilty pleasure kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, this is Burger King. It's so good, but it's so bad.
So just to explain that, if everyone's watching, and basically kolomi is the East Malaysian version of wonton mee.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's their version. Something similar, but their version is actually really authentic, but it's similar.
Oh, I want to try it.
And that's, you know, number two. And number, actually, you know what? Now that you guys mention it, number three, I don't know. to be fair, roti canai would be my third. Like, you can't get good roti canai anywhere in this part of the world. I'm sorry. You know, maybe in the UK, I know they have like very pretty decent one. But in LA, finally enough, you get a lot of good food, but Malaysian's not one of them, you know? They even have great Singaporean food. But when it comes to Malaysian food, actually, there's one that just opened up. So, you know, they have good, like, what they call the Ipoh chicken rice, I believe. So they have that.
Yeah.
But roti canai, that will be my third on the list.
And of course, it's going to cost like 10 times more than you can ever get it in the kitchen, right? You know, that's the thing as well.
yes, especially like the coconut water here is just, it's especially in LA where everyone's very conscious about the yoga and their kind of fitness journey and all that. So coconut is like 10 times more expensive.
Yeah.
And I have a Malaysian friend here. He comes to me and is like, bro, I cannot have coconut here. It's just like, it's 2 ringgit back home. And over here, it's like a completely different thing. So, for him, it's coconut. But if I had a fourth one, it would be coconut water.
Nice.
Alvin, you know, you're a sound guy, but your laugh is just...
You know, well, okay. Do we have a quick time for a story?
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of my laughter, I mean, very proud of it. And I've known, or I've kind of been made aware about my laughter since like, you know, a while back. Got it from my mama, first of all. So, you know, shout out, mom. Thank you very much. Number two, during The Force Awakens, I was at this, you know, in Hollywood, there's this really well-known theater called the Chinese Theater. It's the big giant one and like John Wayne and all that. So we went in to watch The Force Awakens. This was like years ago. And you know, we had two bunch of friends, right? And one was sitting at one end of the hall and I was sitting at the other end of the hall. And so then we watched the movie and he came out. The friend who was sitting on the other side of the hall, like, I kind of didn't really know her at that point. And she's like, there was this guy that was like laughing his butt off the whole time. And like, like, we can hear it from the side of the hall. And I was like, did it sound like that? And so I went, ha, 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 ha. And it's like, oh my God, it's you. So yes, it is very infectious.
Nice.
Well, I know you've been busy on one particular project. What can you tell us about Top Gun Maverick?
Well, Lady Gaga's song is awesome, first of all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys heard it. I would say go listen to it. The music's incredible. The musicians on it are just top notch. I'll be honest, I haven't actually finished watching the film because like I wasn't at what they call the final mix, which is again dialogue, sound effects and all that.
Yeah.
And they did this thing called Dolby Atmos and it was like kind of the height of COVID. So I didn't have the chance to go in and all that. And so like what I can tell you is the music's incredible. The way they did it was just, you know, a whole different level of like musicianship because, you know, it was hard to get everyone in the room. So recording was like, I was getting files from everywhere. And so like, you know, London would send me things and Australia would send me things. And I'll get something from like Vegas and I'll get something from here and all that. And so it was my job to kind of like, you know, funnel it together and then send it off to the other mixers and stuff like that. Because I didn't get to kind of enjoy the film and it was a lot of kind of management at that point. I'm excited to watch. So, you know, I'm just as in the dark as you guys are.
Too funny. Now, out of all the blockbuster movies you've worked on, and there is a lot, is there one scene that you could tell someone who's a really average, completely know nothing about sound, normal movie viewer, that you'd tell us to listen to really carefully again because of the particulars of the music mix or the sound design? And what scene would that be? What movie and why?
That's a very good question. Whew. There's a lot to pull from, obviously, because of kind of my personal thing. But I'll talk about Encanto because obviously, like, you know, means a lot to me and I really loved it and, you know, put a lot of heart and soul into it. You know, the scene in Antonio's room where he goes in and there's this, like, you know, before that, the birds start flying in overhead because, like, he gets his gift and, like, you know, they were like, oh my God, is he going to get his gift and whatever? And then, like, the birds fly in and then the flute comes in. And then they go in. I don't know if you can hear this in the TV version because all the mixes on that, like whether you're on Disney Plus, whether you're on like other streaming platforms or if you're watching a satellite or it's in movies, they're all like bespoke mixes. Disney does a great job of doing that. But like in the surround, like what I call the surround, the film version, if you go pay attention, like the music really kind of plays a huge part. Like you hear the choir in there and that's actually a Colombian choir that was recorded in Colombia that we brought in to kind of put together to give it that like energetic kind of like environment of like, it's feeling like this is part of the Colombian culture and this is what we want, the celebratory thing. And if you go pay attention to that, the way the choir rises and falls, it really surrounds you and it's not just like, oh, I hear the choir here, but it feels like you're in the middle of the choir listening to everyone singing.
I'm going to have to watch that scene. I'm going to definitely dig it out.
I've watched Encanto like 6 times. My kids love it. So I'm definitely going to rewatch that scene. And it'll never be the same again. Just totally listen out to that.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's great. And I, you know, I'm very proud of it.
Amazing. I mean, in terms of your job, this is so detail oriented, isn't it? But do you have any sort of strange rituals or habits that you have?
Yes. My number one thing about me is my ritual is I'm a big like coffee person. I have like a pink kettle that I try to bring to every studio I have. I start every morning by turning on the kettle, getting the water in, you know, measuring out temperature, measuring out the amount of beans, and I do the pour over. And that's like my morning. Like I wake up with 2 cups of coffee, you know, because I don't get my mama here or I don't get any kind of like Malaysian coffee. I have started kind of expanding the way I do my coffee rituals. Like I said, with a pour over or like sometimes I'll do like a French press or like, you know, whatever. But like, my day starts out with 2 cups of coffee and then I would just sit down, think about my day, then I start the day. And even if I'm not on the project or even if I'm like just trying to, you know, get through a day, that's a big part of my life because that kind of resets me and say like, you know, if I can make coffee and if the coffee is good, I'm good for the day.
Yeah. Well, nice. The composer Beethoven, didn't he start off his day, Beethoven, by counting out exactly 58 coffee beans?
What, really?
He was a guy of real routine, actually. And part of his routine is he had to obsessively count out 58 coffee beans before he started. And I think there's something in it, like what you said about setting out your day in the right way, the ritual of it, the whole, all the steps. I think there's something very zen. It puts you in a certain mindset, sets you up for the day. And I think you and Beethoven have got that bit nailed on.
There you go.
A lot of mixers who do that. I mean, like my buddy David Boucher, like shout out to him. Love David. He, you know, he's a big mentor of mine, a good friend of mine. We've worked on projects together and he was on Encanto and he mixed the famed Bruno song.
Wow.
And all the other songs. And he's also a big coffee person. So we bond over, like, you know, when we were on the project, actually on previous projects as well, he would bring his whole coffee setup. And like, you know, because we would trade off times, like, oh, I'm coming in or I'm coming in or whatever. He would leave his whole, like, he'd bring the beans and he'd bring like the, you know, whatever it was, the AeroPress or whatever. And that would be like our kind of like, I grinded you some beans, so I left you there. I think it's so awesome that like we can bond over that. And that's like the way we kind of get our day started. So it's a good break. I know some people, you know, they do like, they need their like, you know, 2 hour breaks or whatever, and they go out, they go for a walk, or some people, you know, they go out for, you know, whatever it is. Like for me, it's like that break with the coffee is kind of how I enjoy my time.
That is so awesome. I mean, from the start of the show already, I mean, all I can think of is just that we just need some sponsors over here. We could start it with tourism. First was tourism, East Malaysia about food, and then tourism Malaysia. And now we just need a coffee sponsor. Alvin's like,
there you go.
Sponsor Alvin. I mean, he's just got the whole setup. He grinds it himself. He pours it nicely. So what's everyone else waiting? And then for this show as well, for today, all of us get close to the screens and go, this show was brought to you by Specsavers. Specsavers. It's really interesting to know that you have that habit and ritual. But do you have like a motto or mantra that you find yourself saying a lot?
I got this from one of my mentors. He, you know, he taught me like, we're not saving lives. And I kind of gravitate a lot towards that like I understand that the things I do and where I am and what I've been doing has kind of inspired people. And I'm very grateful for that. And at the same time, I can hold space for that. And also the fact that what I'm doing is, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going in to like, you know, do brain surgery or heart surgery. And like, I remind myself every day that I get to come in here and have a lot of fun. It's going to be fun. I'm not going to do it. So I tell myself and my kind of coworkers and people that I work with and whatever, and like, we're not saving lives. You know, it's like things get hairy. And as a director, as you know, sometimes, or like when you're up in production and all that, like schedules just gets grueling and you kind of like pull, you know, 8 different places. And I'm just like, whatever, like, you know, I just remind myself, you know, it's just music.
You're too humble. It's not just music.
You're too humble.
It's a healthy attitude. Yeah.
Yeah. But somewhere out there, there is a doctor that's going, I'm not Alvin.
I wish they were.
You say that though, side story real quick. You know, sometimes you Google yourself. I'm not conceited, I promise. It was just, I had to Google myself to do something. I think I was like trying to sort out some like application. So I Google Alvin Wee. It's a doctor named Alvin Wee in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, man. That's your alternate self. Shout out to Dr. Alvin.
I know.
Who is Googling you going, this dude, this Alvin Wee is having so much more fun than this
I want to be this Alvin.
Okay. We're going to ask you to do one thing, which is to get your phone. What we need you to do is go to your contacts and pick someone special in your life. You don't have to tell us who. And leave a meaningful voice message. It sounds really nice and noble and fuzzy, but we're just really good at eavesdropping on this show. So yeah, just leave a voice message to someone special in your life.
Oh, okay. I know the perfect person. Let's see. Hey Sam, it's Alvin. Just randomly thought of you and, you know, hope you're doing well. Hope your family's doing well. Hope your 2 kids are doing well. You know, I know we haven't chatted for a bit. But yeah, I just thought, you know, whenever you have time, just shoot me a text or just give me a call, and I feel like we should catch up. And, you know, I know Australia is very, very, you know, busy for you right now, and I hope everything's well. And, you know, love to you and your family and your mom and dad and your the rest of your family. Cheers, dude.
Nice.
There we go.
Right. That's such a dude's way of sending love and care.
But what a lovely message to get as well. Who's Sam?
He was a very close friend of mine. You know, like growing up, we went to the same school, and he lives in Australia. I spent a lot of time with him growing up. And then, you know, life took kind of got the best of us, but we tried to, like, we sent each other, like, he sent me an article. The last thing I saw was just an article or whatever. You know, we lost touch for a bit because he was busy building his empire there. He's an architect. He's doing very well. He has a family there. He married some lovely lady. They have two kids, and they live in Melbourne, I think. We chatted a little bit over the pandemic, but, like, I haven't spoken to him for at least a year now, maybe a year.
Okay.
So I'm like, I should reach out to him because, you know, we were close. Sometimes we would spend, like, Chinese New Year Eve together. Like, I would do, like, the family thing, like, you do the reunion and all that, and then I'll go over to his place and, like, you know, enjoy some visual, aerial color explosions in the sky. He was a big, like, part of me growing up and, you know, very pivotal part in my childhood. So just thought of him, and I think he's one person to kind of say hi to. We'll see if he replies, but, you know, I don't know what the time difference is in Australia, so.
He probably thinks, oh, man, Alvin needs some money.
No, he's gonna go, Alvin needs a job.
Alvin needs a job. Why is he sucking up right now?
Yeah.
Alvin needs to join. He played in my band, so, you know, we were bandmates as well. That's the other
cool
thing.
No bonding like bandmates, right? There's no bonding like it. It's so great.
I bet you he was a drummer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No way.
Right on it. Exactly. Yeah, he was a drummer. Yeah.
That's so the psychology of bandmates, right?
They always want to be the lead singer, you see? That's why he's building his empire now, because he wasn't the front man in the band.
He is a heartbreaker. I'll give him that. He really is. He's a heartbreaker. So I don't think he had any issue not being the front man. Let's just put it that way. He's a great guy, and I hope he replies.
Me too. You know, if you get a ping before the end of the show, I think we all want to hear it. I think everyone is
excited. Absolutely.
So, Alvin, tell us a little bit now about family. Like, how were you brought up? You know, obviously, you come from, you know, humble beginnings, the Sarawakian clan and everything. I don't think anyone quite saw where your career trajectory would lead you. As a kid, were you expected to excel, reach this level? Like, tell us what it was like growing up.
I had kind of a pretty every regular Malaysian upbringing, I think. You know, from grade 3, I skipped a grade. I went to grade 5, so I skipped grade 4.
Wow.
Just on the upbringing in Malaysia in general, right? There's all this academic kind of emphasis on academic stuff. But at the same time, my mom was like, you know, you should study music. You should go play your piano and go learn guitar and all that. And then, you know, when I was 12, I wanted to be a rock star. So I picked up a guitar. I picked up the electric guitar when I was 12 and kind of, you know, started playing in bands, started playing for people. I learned that a lot of the trajectory came from me growing up with very different, diverse kind of people. Like, I went to a great school, so, like, you know, some of my friends were kind of more well-to-do, and some of my friends were not as well-to-do. I ran the gamut in terms of, like, knowing people and, like, hanging out with different type of people. It meant that I got a really broad understanding of how things worked and understood that, you know, I was very privileged to be able to study, and also, like, understood that if I were to go pursue music, that it was going to be something that's, like, not very common. So, you know, it was risky because I was like, well, if I do this, I might not succeed. But, like, you know, it seems like my mom had more faith in me than I did. Like, high school was great. I learned a lot in school, and I was, you know, doing night classes at the same time.
Wow.
You know, I worked a whole different career before that. I joke that I traded one dark room for another.
One keyboard,
one mouse for another. I finished that kind of class and course, and, you know, it was in the college there, and, you know, dad got sick, so I spent time with him. And then, you know, when he left us and he crossed over, I was like, you know what, like, life's too short. Like, I don't want to be sitting in a dark room forever. You know, who knew that years later, I'll be doing the exact same thing. But with the exception that I do music now, and it's a little cooler, it's a little more fun, and makes less money. So maybe I didn't make the right move. I don't have a 9-to-5. I'm very happy about it. Maybe, like, I know some people work at Facebook and they're like, yeah, I go in at midnight. I'm like, what, really? And they're like, yeah, you know. Yeah, I joke. But yes, growing up has been kind of fairly normal. You know, like, there was an adjustment kind of when I skipped the grade, like, you know, kind of new classmates and when you're young and, you know, when people there prioritize the kind of doctor, lawyer. Like, if you say you're going to be a philosopher, they're like, what the hell is that? Like, how are you going to, you know, there's a little bit of that to kind of grapple with as well as you grow up. But now, you know, looking back, I'm like, yeah, I had fairly kind of normal upbringing with the difference of meeting all these different people from different parts of life that gave me a good perspective that I don't have to follow one single path to be happy. And so I'm like, let's do what we love, and like all of us here, you know, be really good at it, and hopefully people will see that and people would say, hey, you're really good at it, can we like ask you to do this for our project? And that's where I am.
Very inspiring. Wow. We were left speechless there.
Alvin, you've told us so much and we've learned so much about you as well from your childhood days and how you've made it from Kuching all the way to Hollywood now and doing something that you love. What's that something that people, you know, who aren't in the music or the movie industry that could benefit from learning? You know, what's something?
We all have all the skills, right? I think I go back to like when I previously talked about like, you know, the three skills that I have. I think that the biggest skill is communication. Communication doesn't mean that I have to talk, doesn't mean that I need to be lengthy. It doesn't mean that, you know, we have to have a 6-hour conversation about why the pandas are not black enough. Communication means like effective transference of idea to get your point across, you know. And I think as a director, right, like Percy, as you know, like, you know, you're trying to explain to people something's not green enough, but you're talking about, you know, like, oh, he's not angry enough, but you say it's not green enough. People are like, it's kind of hard to kind of, you know, connect that. Mm. So I think like being able to articulate yourself, being able to explain and convey the idea you want is one of the biggest skills that I've learned and I am learning to continually be better at, because it helps in every aspect. It helps in your relationship, it helps with, you know, your family, it helps with every part of the world, you know, like it, communication is hard. It's difficult for me, and communication doesn't have to be words, right? Because like sometimes like 98% of what you say is not words. And so like understanding what people are saying with their body language, understanding how people are reacting to what you're saying, or like understanding that some people laugh because they're uncomfortable, not saying that I am. And understanding, you know, like all this, like reading visual, non-visual cues, understanding all that, and like kind of, you know, having a room, and as they say, like kind of reading the temperature of a room, things like that, it translates from the boardroom to the cutting room to the mix room to whatever room you're in. It served me well, and I implore and I encourage everyone to do the same.
You know what, Alvin, I think what I get from you, it strikes me now, is that your job, it's a very complicated job to explain, even to people in our industry, right? I know, because when I talk to you guys and I try to, okay, it has to be like this, like that, it's all very vague, right? But one thing that comes across is that when you're talking with so much passion like you are, and so much compassion like you are too, then that's communication already. Like for me as a director, if I talk to somebody like you and we work on something, I'm actually quite confident passing on the baton to you, so to speak, and passing to you the work, if I feel that you're just as passionate about it as I am. And, you know, the words are not even necessary because I see it, I see the excitement. And I think that's the important takeaway here that you're saying, is that you communicate not just with words, but with the energy that you give out, you know, the passion and the compassion that you give out. And that speaks wonders already.
It's both verbal and nonverbal, I think. And you said it well. And that's why you're the director and I'm just
you're
listening.
You're the laughing guy.
I just laugh. And you typically, it works very well. And it seems to work. So, you know, that's my secret. I think everyone's figured me out. He just laughs and everyone feels like it's okay. So everything's done. I'm like, kind of. And then like at the back, you know, I used to joke that like I could have like the building burning at the back and I'll still kind of pay attention to you and like make you feel like you're the only person that matters kind of thing. And it's not like whatever, but like, you know, it is communication, I think. It's that huge part of just like, I can talk to you and just do that. It doesn't work on every film, but I try to get away with it as much as I can.
You do it with such sincerity, and that's what counts, right? That's the point.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly. Alvin, I mean, we've had so much fun today, and thank you so much for spending time with us today building this video time capsule, even though 45 minutes of it is just of you laughing, but that is definitely the soundtrack of your life. So as we close the show and you're closing the lid of this video time capsule, you get to leave one message. So what do you want to say to your future grandkids?
Dear future grandkids, you are the most incredible version of yourself, and you will always be the most unique version. Know that, I guess, your granddad will support whatever you do and that wants you to always pursue what you love. Because if you do that, you can achieve anything.
Oh,
that's a beautiful, beautiful message. Is there a message for our viewer who has a creative streak, but they really lack the confidence or the direction to go for it? Do you have any final closing advice for them?
Yes, go out and do it and don't be afraid. Like, I make mistakes every day of my life, and the biggest mistake I've done is not doing this in the first place. So go out, try it out, dare to fail, and then come back and get back up and keep going again.
Beautifully said.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Alvin. You've been very inspiring. Yes. I think you inspired a lot of people today. And that laugh, we will always remember that. Now, that laughter will now be my peg when I go to sound design. Going like, yeah, I need a laugh like this. Somebody find me somebody can laugh like that.
I'll definitely send that off to you. So yes, for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you, Alvin, and thank you to our lovely viewers.
Thank you so much. And once again, this has been Dear Future Grandkids, where we take a look at the past, bring us to the future, and impart life lessons for you as well. Alvin, it's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm sure your family, your grandma, everyone's so proud of you. You're really, you know, flying the Malaysian flag, fellow Malaysian as well. I'm sure we're very proud of you, and I don't think you get recognition out there. So I hope that this show will help you, put you at the forefront, because I think you're an amazing guy. You're someone that immediately you want to be friends, have coffee with, or have a beer with. Yeah. You just seem like a really, really down-to-earth, nice guy, and so proud of you. Well done. And hey, if you're ever in the Philippines, Hong Kong, or Singapore, drop us a line. Let's go have a cup of coffee.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
If you were scoring the very goodbye of Dear Future Grandkids right now, Alvin, what would you put in this? What would be a goodbye sound effect?
So I'll put a kazoo, a sape, and an uncle. Like, without even, no joke, like, I'm serious, and I think it'd be the coolest thing ever.
I love how Alvin knows straight away. He doesn't have to think about it, he knows straight away. And I haven't heard of kazoo, like, I haven't heard that word since school, so it's amazing that that came to mind first thing. That's fantastic. Thank you again, Alvin Wee. Thank you so much to our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your comments. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.